Hello, my name is Angela Wallace, and I'm at the Port Dover Harbor Museum. And today, we are going to learn about the summer gardens. Thank you for joining me.
You are listening to Curated Past, presented by Norfolk County Heritage and Culture, a podcast that features the stories of Norfolk County's rich cultural heritage.
Not so long ago, the rich baritone of Charlie Pride's voice, the rockabilly beats of Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks, and the brassy tones of Louis Armstrong's trumpet echoed over Lake Erie. These famous musicians were but a few that traveled to the lakeside community of Port Dover to perform at the famous concert venue, the Summer Gardens. We can't tell the story of the Summer Garden without telling you a bit about the Ivy family. Thomas A. Ivy, born and raised in Haldimand County, found his calling when he opened a flower shop in Brantford in 1882. In 1908, Thomas purchased property along the banks of Silver Lake in Port Dover and started building greenhouses. The business blossomed and by mid-century would become the second largest wholesale retailer of flowers in Canada. Thomas and his wife Nancy had six children. Today, we're going to talk about their fourth child, Ashley Benson Ivy, who went by his middle name, Ben. Ben was born on June 3, 1880. According to an article in the Port Dover Maple Leaf, when he was 28, he worked in Niagara Falls to help landscape the area for tourism. When Ben returned home to Port Dover, he felt that the beach needed more commercial activity. He was sitting enjoying the lake view one afternoon when a stranger sat with him. He felt compelled to share his vision of building a dance hall over the water. As luck would have it, that stranger was Captain William Colby. Now, the Colbys are another dynamic family. William Colby had a well-established commercial fishing company in Erie, Pennsylvania. And in 1911, he moved to Port Dover and opened a branch of his business. By 1931, the headquarters for the business were moved to Dover. When you think of the early days of commercial fishing on Lake Erie, Colby was one of the dominant players who helped build the foundations of the industry. Well, on that day, sitting next to Ben Ivy, Captain Colby must have thought the idea of a dance hall over the water was a good one because he offered to supply and install the pilings that would make up the foundation of the dance hall. Not only did he commit to doing the work, he offered to receive payment for the job only after the dance hall had opened and was operating. The captain also recommended George Nunn to build the hall. George did the work, but he didn't want payment until after the hall was established. Later in life, Ben Ivy would reflect, "Two such lovely men as Cap Colby and George have never walked the earth." Both Colby and Nunn would not have to wait long for the payment. According to the Simcoe Reformer, after the pilings were driven into the bottom of the lake on May 23rd, it took George Nunn just 1 month to construct the building. The Summer Garden opened 100 years ago on June 18th, 1921. Ben's vision of a dance hall over the water came to life. Local newspapers from the time provide a glimpse of the building. The Summer Garden was a long building, extending 125 feet over the waters of Lake Erie. It was 80 feet wide. A promenade extended along the outer perimeter, where people could stroll along the outside of the hall. A large veranda was located at the back of the building, and deck chairs were there. Imagine those evenings, dancing to the big bands, sitting on the veranda, and watching the light from the moon reflect off of the water. On top of all of that, people could book boat rides. The boats were docked just off of the promenade. At the end of the boating season, the vessels were put in storage. One year, when it was time to get the boats ready for the season, it was discovered that one of the boats, known as Ben's Ark, was missing. Those were the years of Prohibition, and there was activity on Lake Erie. It was assumed that the boat was stolen to help run liquor for the illegal trade. Well, back to the Summer Garden. So, the inside of the building would have been just as magical, with glistening Georgia pine floors, wood siding, and electric lights. On the opening night, Saturday, June 18, 1921, Bill Colby and his orchestra performed. The evening was a success. From then on, the Summer Garden was the place to be. It is said that the Summer Garden was the first ballroom in Ontario to be open on a daily basis. The constant flow of dancers, bands, and visitors started to have an impact on the building. The once shining floors were showing wear. The interior needed to be updated, and one by one over the years, the wood pilings began to break. In 8 years, the building settled 4 feet, making it vulnerable to high waters. A series of repairs were made to the building. In 1924, the interior was redecorated and new electric lighting was installed. New hardwood flooring was installed in 1926. Then, in December of 1927, water rose during a storm and the flooring had to be replaced. In 1929, more renovations were completed and the building was ready to open for March 29, 1929. But 2 days later, on April 1st, one of the worst storms on Lake Erie occurred. It raged for 7 hours, damaging communities along the shore of the lake. There was damage to the Port Dover Lighthouse, fish tugs, and buildings along the lake. The East Pier was destroyed, and concessions along the beach were gone. In Port Rowan, some of the boathouses were submerged. And in both Port Rowan and in Turkey Point, cottages were swept into the lake. And what of our favorite dance hall? Well, only a portion of the hall remained. The rest lay in ruins, beyond repair. This could have been the end of the Summer Garden story. But Ben Ivy, with the support of the community, did not let that happen. In Ben's words, "We got busy, and this time we built up on the shore. Had the building open by the 24th of May." Ben wasn't referring to May of the following year. The second Summer Garden was constructed and opened to the public in less than 8 weeks. The second Summer Garden did not hover over the water, but was built on the beach. The building was known as the Big White Hall. The first band to play was Bernie Knowles and his orchestra. Ben Ivy knew that people would travel and pay to see popular bands at his venue. In an interview with the Port Dover Maple Leaf, he recalled, "My first big star band was McKinney's Cotton Pickers of Chicago. They cost me $1,800, and every dance hall manager in Ontario came to that dance to see me take a licking. We had 2,000 packed into that hall. 15 cents to get in, and at 5 cents a dance, you can make a lot of money that way." In August of 1930, one of the most popular American singers of the 1920s and 30s, Rudy Vallee, made his first Canadian appearance at the Summer Garden on Monday night, August 18th. A huge crowd waited on the pier for his arrival on the Keystone Ferry. People traveled from across southern Ontario to be part of that memorable evening. In January 1932, something unbelievable happened. In the late Ben Ivy's words, "Then we lost the garden by fire." Never to let obstacles deter him, Mr. Ivy recalled to the Maple Leaf, "My brain was still working on a design for a summer garden. George Nunn came up with a scale model of an octagonal building. It must have been a spontaneous thought because my family and I were thinking that too. Anyway, in 1932, we opened the third and, as it turned out, the last gardens." The third summer garden is the one most people remember. The Simcoe Reformer described the building as sumptuous and reported that, during the past week, the brilliant awning was put in place and the finishing touches added to the building. The new summer garden will be the last word in buildings of this type. It consists of a dance hall with cloakrooms and booths set apart, but constructed as exact copies of the main building. The gardens are extremely attractive and form a perfect setting, with a plethora of shrubbery and landscaping lending an air of beauty. Ben's son, Don Ivy, is most associated with the third summer garden, operating it for decades. Many Port Dover residents fondly recall Don's distinctive, crisp white suit. During the 1930s and 40s, big bands and musicians like Duke Ellington, Tommy Dorsey, Nat King Cole, Louis Armstrong performed. During the war years, trainees from the Jarvis Bombing and Gunnery School came to the garden on the weekends. People traveled regularly to the venue and, for example, the Lake Erie and Northern Railway ran dance excursions, so dancers from Brantford could spend a Saturday night at the Summer Garden. The Maple Leaf interviewed Don Ivy years later, and he explained, "After the war, dancing lost its charm. The fellows had been away for so long, the younger people, without the example of their elders, never learned how to dance. The cost of dance was another factor. You couldn't keep a hall open every night. Television kept people home." Then rock and roll exploded onto the music scene. In the 1950s, rock and roll bands were scheduled to play on Sunday nights in the Summer Garden. The demand was there, and people flocked to hear Bill Haley and the Comets and other bands of the time. Times changed, and Don wisely realized he needed to focus on rock and roll. The Summer Garden was also a place for community events. After the Second World War, the largest welcome home banquet for members of the armed forces was held there. The ballroom was adorned with fresh flowers for the annual Dance of the Roses. The Summer Garden even saw two prime ministers visit, Lester Pearson and Pierre Trudeau. The Ivies sold the Summer Garden in 1968 to Mike McLaughlin and Sid Sinclair. In 1976, it came under the Ivy's ownership once again. Sadly, the garden was destroyed by fire in January of 1979. Before we go, I want to name just a few of the bands that played over the years at the Summer Garden. I bet you'll recognize several of them. Ronnie Hawkins, Gordon Lightfoot, Rush, Alice Cooper, Bo Diddley, Burton Cummings, Cab Calloway, Chubby Checker, Conway Twitty, Duke Ellington, Glenn Miller, The Guess Who, Jerry Lee Lewis, Nat King Cole, Rick Danko, April Wine, Chuck Berry, and the list goes on and on. Thank you for joining us today. And we hope you'll join us again for the next episode of Curated Past.
Thank Thank you for listening to Curated Past. Today's podcast was brought to you by the Port Dover Harbor Museum. Check them out at www.portdovermuseum.ca.